The Importance of Being Earnest by Oscar Wilde. Retold by F. H. Cornish. Published by Macmillan Education, a division of Macmillan Publishers Limited, 2011. Act 1.
Part 1.
Lane, have you made the cucumber sandwiches for Lady Bracknell's tea?
Yes, sir.
Oh, by the way, Lane, I looked at your notebook. I noticed that when Lord Shoreman and Mr. Worthing dined with me on Thursday night, 8 bottles of champagne were drunk.
Yes, sir, 8 bottles.
Why is it that in a bachelor's home the servants always drink the champagne? I just ask because I'm interested, Lane.
I think that it is because the champagne is better in a bachelor's home. I have noticed that the champagne in married people's homes is rarely very good.
Good heavens! Is marriage so depressing?
I believe marriage is very pleasant, sir. I haven't had much experience of it myself. I have only been married once, and that was because of a misunderstanding between myself and a young person.
I am not very interested in your family life, Lane.
No, sir. It is not a very interesting subject. I never think of it myself.
That is very understandable. Well, thank you, Lane. Lane's views on marriage seem very casual. Really, if the servants don't set us a good example, what on earth is the use of them? They seem to have no morals.
Mr. Ernest Worthing is here, sir.
How are you, my dear Ernest? What brings you to town?
Oh, pleasure brings me. Pleasure, of course. What else should bring one anywhere? You're eating, as usual, I see, Algy.
I believe it is normal in good society to have some light refreshment at 5 o'clock. Where have you been since last Thursday?
In the country.
What on earth do you do in the country?
When one is in town, one entertains oneself. When one is in the country, one entertains other people. It is very boring.
And who are the people you entertain?
Oh, neighbours, neighbours.
Have you got nice neighbours in your part of Shropshire?
No, they're all horrid. I never speak to any of them.
You must entertain them very much, then. By the way, Shropshire is where you come from, is it not?
Shropshire? Yes, of course. My dear fellow, why are all these cups here? Why cucumber sandwiches? Why are you being so extravagant? Who is coming to tea?
Oh, just Aunt Augusta and Gwendolyn.
How perfectly delightful.
Yes, but I am afraid Aunt Augusta won't be happy that you're here.
And why is that?
My dear fellow, the way that you flirt with Gwendolyn is perfectly disgraceful. It is almost as bad as the way Gwendolyn flirts with you.
I am in love with Gwendolyn. I have come to town in order to propose marriage to her.
I thought you had come to town for pleasure. I call a marriage proposal business.
How very unromantic you are.
I really don't think proposing is romantic. It is very romantic to be in love. But there is nothing romantic about a proposal. Someone might accept. They usually do, I believe. Then the exciting time is over. The most important thing about romance is the uncertainty. If I ever marry, I'll certainly try to forget that I am married.
I believe you, dear Algy. The divorce court was especially invented for people with memories like yours.
Oh, there is no point in thinking about that. Divorces are made in heaven. Please, don't touch the cucumber sandwiches. They were ordered specially for Aunt Augusta.
Well, you have been eating them all the time.
That is different. She is my aunt. Have some bread and butter. The bread and butter is for Gwendolyn. Gwendolyn loves bread and butter.
And very good bread and butter it is, too.
Well, my dear fellow, you don't need to eat it all. You are behaving as if you are married to her already. But you are not married to her, and I don't think you ever will be.
Why on earth do you say that?
Well, firstly, girls never marry the men they flirt with. They don't think it's the right thing to do.
Oh, that is nonsense.
It isn't. It's true. That's why one sees such a large number of bachelors all over the place. And secondly, I don't give my consent.
Your consent?
Gwendolen is my cousin, and before I allow you to marry her, you will have to clear up the matter of Cicely.
Cicely? What on earth do you mean, Algy? I don't know anyone called Cicely.
Lane, bring me the cigarette case which Mr. Worthing left last time he dined here.
Yes, sir. Have you had my cigarette case all this time? I wish you had told me. I've been writing letters to the police about it. I nearly offered a large reward.
Well, I wish you would offer a large reward. I'm very poor at the moment.
There is no point in offering a large reward now that you've found it.
I think that is mean of you, Ernest, I must say. However, it doesn't matter. Now I look at the inscription inside, I see that this isn't yours.
Of course it's mine. You have seen me with it 100 times, and you shouldn't be reading what is written inside it. It is very impolite to read a private cigarette case.
Oh, it is ridiculous to have rules about what one should read and what one shouldn't. Most of modern culture depends on reading what one shouldn't read.
I know that, and I am not going to discuss modern culture. I simply want my cigarette case back.
Yes, but this isn't your cigarette case. This cigarette case is a present from someone called Cicely. And you said you don't know anyone called Cicely.
Well, if you want to know, Cicely is my aunt.
Your aunt?
Yes. She is a charming old lady. Just give it back to me, Algy.
But why does she call herself Little Cicely if she is your aunt? From Little Cicely... with all her love.
My dear fellow, some aunts are tall. Some aunts are not tall. My aunt should be allowed to decide her height for herself. You seem to think that every aunt should be like your aunt, Lady Bracknell. That is ridiculous. Now, give me back my cigarette case.
Yes, but why does your aunt call you her uncle? From Little Cicely, with all her love, to her dear Uncle Jack. I don't object to an aunt being a small aunt, but why does an aunt, whatever her size, call her own nephew Uncle? I don't understand. And your name isn't Jack. It is Ernest.
It isn't Ernest. It's Jack.
You have always told me that your name is Ernest. I have introduced you to everyone as Ernest. You answer to the name Ernest. You look as if your name is Ernest. You are the most earnest-looking person I have ever seen in my life. It is perfectly ridiculous to tell me your name isn't Ernest. It is on your visiting cards. Here is one of them. Mr. Ernest Worthing, B4 the Albany, London. I'll keep this as proof that your name is Ernest. Don't ever try to deny it to me or to Gwendolen or to anyone else.
Well, my name is Ernest in town and Jack in the country. And the cigarette case was given to me in the country.
That does not explain why your small Aunt Cicely calls you her dear uncle. My dear fellow, you had better tell me everything. Go on. I have always suspected that you were a secret Bunburyist, and now I am quite sure.
Bunburyist? What on earth do you mean by a Bunburyist?
I'll tell you the meaning of Bunburyist when you tell me why you are Ernest in town and Jack in the country.
Well, give me my cigarette case first.
Here it is. Now give me your explanation, and please make it unbelievable.
My dear fellow, there is nothing unbelievable about my explanation. In fact, it's perfectly ordinary. I was brought up by an old gentleman called Thomas Cardew. He adopted me when I was a little boy, and he made me the guardian of his granddaughter, Miss Cicely Cardew, in his will. Cicely is my ward and calls me uncle because she respects me, although you wouldn't understand that. You don't understand respect. Cicely lives in my house in the country, and is looked after by her excellent governess, Miss Prism.
Where is your house in the country, by the way?
That is nothing to do with you, my dear fellow. I am not going to invite you there. But I will tell you honestly that the house is not in Shropshire.
I guessed that, my dear fellow. I have Bunburyed all over Shropshire twice. Now, go on. Why are you Ernest in town and Jack in the country?
My dear Algy, I don't know whether you will understand. You are not a very serious person. I will try to explain it to you. I am a responsible guardian, and I have to behave well all the time in the country. It is my duty, but it is not very good for my health or my happiness. So, when I want to leave the country and come to town, I pretend to have a younger brother called Ernest. I tell everyone that he lives in the Albany, and that he gets into the most terrible trouble. That, my dear Algy, is the truth.
You are a Bunburyist. I was right to say you were a Bunburyist. You are one of the most advanced Bunburyists I know.
What on earth do you mean?
You have invented a younger brother called Ernest so that you can come to town as often as you like. I have invented an invalid called Bunbury so that I can go to the country as often as I like. When I pretend to visit him, I call it Bunburying. And I call someone who visits imaginary people a Bunburyist. Bunbury is very valuable. For example, if it wasn't for Bunbury's very bad health, I wouldn't be able to dine with you tonight. I should be dining with Aunt Augusta.
I haven't asked you to dine with me tonight.
I know. You are very careless about sending out invitations. It is very foolish of you. Nothing annoys people more than not receiving invitations.
You ought to dine with your Aunt Augusta.
I don't have any intention of dining with Aunt Augusta. Firstly, I dine there on Monday, and once a week is enough time to spend with one's relations. Secondly, Aunt Augusta will either give me two women to talk to at dinner, or none. And thirdly, I know that tonight she will make me sit next to Mary Farquhar, who always flirts with her own husband across the dinner table. It is not very pleasant. In fact, respectable women should not behave like that. And more women are doing it. The number of women in London who flirt with their own husbands is terrible. It looks so bad. Well, now I know that you are a Bunburyist, I want to talk to you about Bunburying. I want to tell you the rules.
I am not a Bunburyist. If Gwendolyn agrees to marry me, I am going to kill my brother. In fact, I think I will kill him anyway. Cicely is a little too interested in him, so I am going to get rid of Ernest, and I think you should kill Mr. Your invalid friend with the ridiculous name.
Nothing will make me kill Bunbury, and if you ever get married, you will be glad to know Bunbury. A man who marries without knowing Bunbury will have a very boring marriage.
That is nonsense. If I marry a charming girl like Gwendolyn, I certainly won't want to know Bunbury.
Then your wife will want to know him. You don't understand that in married life, three is company and two is none.
Don't try to be cynical. It's perfectly easy to be cynical.
My dear fellow, it isn't easy to be anything these days. There is so much competition. Ah, that must be Aunt Augusta. Only relatives ring like that. Now, I will take her out of the room for 10 minutes so that you can propose to Gwendolyn. So, I can dine with you tonight, can't I?
I suppose so, if you want to.
Good.